Welcome to the latest Callan Botcast, where we take a deep dive into the insights that matter most to you. Today, we're unpacking a really crucial topic for institutional investors. We're drawing from the Callan blog post titled Explaining Science-Based Targets for Institutional Investors,
That's right.
our mission to really demystify the science-based target initiative, SBTI, look at how useful it is, and understand what it actually means for your investment strategies.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Okay, let's dive in. So, first off, what exactly is SBTI?
Right. So at its core, SBTI is a voluntary nonprofit. It was set up back in 2015. And its main goal is to help private sector companies develop credible emissions reduction plans, plans that line up with the 2015 Paris Climate Agreement.
Okay.
What's really fascinating here is how widely its data is now used. Institutional investors, asset managers, they're all using it to assess climate commitments.
At all levels. Company, sector.
Exactly. Company level, sector level, and portfolio level commitments, and crucially, progress.
That sounds like a pretty powerful tool then. How companies actually engage with it? What's the process?
Well, typically, a company registers first. They can optionally submit a letter of intent, sort of signal they're coming on board. Then they have 2 years. 2 years to develop and submit their targets using the SBTI framework. And these need approval.
2 years, okay.
And once they're approved, the progress is publicly updated every year. So there's transparency.
Right, transparency is key. So here's where it gets really interesting for investors looking for, concrete action. What kind of targets are we actually talking about?
Good question. Companies usually set both short-term targets and long-term ones. Short-term might be something like reducing current emissions by X percent in, say, 5 to 10 years. And the long-term target is often reaching net zero, usually by 2050. There are two main ways they approach this. The absolute contraction approach is, well, the most popular. It focuses on absolute reductions or maybe intensity reductions.
It's cutting emissions overall.
Pretty much. Then there's the sectoral decarbonization approach, but that currently has limited sector-specific guidance. Yeah, for instance, the oil and gas sector, a really critical one, is still waiting for detailed guidance there.
Okay, and to give you a real-world example, that Callan blog post mentioned a large US-based healthcare equipment firm.
Right.
They've committed to a long-term net zero target by 2050, aiming for a 90% reduction across scope 1, 2, and 3 emissions based on their 2022 levels.
That's quite ambitious.
It is. And they also have a short-term target: reduce scope 1 and 2 emissions by 42% by 2030, plus a 25% reduction in specific scope 3 categories.
Like supply chain stuff?
Exactly. Things like purchase goods and services and business travel, all from that same 2022 baseline.
And just a quick reminder for everyone, scope one is direct emissions, scope two is purchased energy, and scope three is all the other indirect stuff across the value chain.
That firm definitely sounds like it's making significant moves, but no system is perfect. What are some of the critical considerations or limitations institutional investors should be aware of when looking at SBTI data?
Yeah, this raises a really important question for due diligence. First, there are definitely gaps in adoption.
Meaning not everyone's using it.
Right. You see higher rates with larger capitalization firms, and also European companies seem more engaged than others. So coverage isn't uniform.
Okay.
Then, as I mentioned, there's the lack of sector level guidance for some key high emitting sectors like energy. That's a big gap. A really significant point of contention, though, has been the use of offsets.
The offsets debate.
Exactly. In early 2024, the SBTI board initially said offsets could be used, which immediately led to concerns about, greenwashing.
Because companies could just buy credits instead of actually cutting their own emissions.
Precisely. That decision was actually withdrawn pretty quickly, and now new guidance is pending. So that's an area to watch. And lastly, it's just crucial to remember, SBTI is not a regulatory body. It's voluntary. It faces resource constraints. And its funding model, which relies on corporate donors, can create at least perceived conflicts of interest,
Right.
even though, it does help fill what's currently a kind of regulatory void in climate risk disclosure.
So, keeping those considerations in mind, how can institutional investors strategically use this SBTI emissions target data? What's the practical application?
Well, the Callan blog post highlights several ways. It's a really valuable assessment tool, for instance, when you're evaluating asset managers' climate solutions and their transition strategies.
Okay.
It helps in tracking portfolio decarbonization, but with a focus on real-world emissions reductions.
Not just divestment.
Not just divestment, exactly. And it can also help financial institution clients reduce their own Scope 3 emissions using what's called a portfolio coverage approach.
Yeah.
And there was an MSCI study cited in the Callan blog post. It found that companies with SBTi commitments are generally more transparent. They're more likely to disclose their value chain emissions, their Scope 3, and they tend to integrate reduction technologies more actively.
So that third-party validation helps.
It does. It helps address some of those greenwashing concerns and, frankly, improves the likelihood that companies will actually achieve their climate targets. It adds rigor.
And the Callan blog post even offers a snapshot, sort of a comparison, right? Showing how SBTi data gives you a lens into a portfolio's focus on cutting emissions. When looking at, say, a US large cap value manager against the S&P 500,
Right, the comparison was revealing.
the S&P 500 actually showed higher levels of SBTi approvals, but that's partly because it's concentrated in those larger cap and tech names that have already been vetted more often.
Correct. Whereas the value manager.
The value manager had fewer approvals, partially because their investments include sectors like energy and financials, which, as we said, still lack that full SBTi guidance, especially for Scope 3.
It really highlights that context matters.
Exactly. So what this all means is SBTi data gives you a good top-level view, but you need to combine it with other metrics, maybe environmental scores, carbon footprinting, to get a truly holistic picture of a portfolio's climate transition journey.
Absolutely. Despite its, current data limitations and the fact that regulations are still evolving, SBTi really does offer a robust framework. It's useful for assessing corporate climate ambition and their progress. It's become a vital piece of the puzzle for investors who are aiming to align their portfolios with decarbonization goals.
Indeed. So for you, the institutional investor listening in, the big question becomes, how will this evolving landscape, climate regulation, third-party initiatives like SBTi, how will it shape your investment strategy in the coming years? Especially, I think, with that growing focus on Scope 3 emissions reductions.
That's the key area to watch.
Definitely something to mull over until our next deep dive on the Callan podcast.